Blog Talk Radio.
Monday to each and every one of you right here in Connecticut where I'm broadcasting from. It's like a gorgeous, gorgeous summer day. And on Mondays is the day where you get two for the price of one. We broadcast simultaneously the A New Day show alongside the Building Your Extraordinary Business. And we have been doing this since, I think, the 14th of November. And momentarily, I will be joined by my co-host, Mr. James Nemley. We are all three are here now. We have our honored guest who is joining us from the wee hours of the morning in Israel. So without any delay, because he has been holding on momentarily, he has been hanging out in the virtual green room. So I want to just bring both men on live. I want to say welcome to my co-host, Mr. James Nemley.
Good evening, Dr. Daphne.
Good evening, Mr. Nemley, and how are you?
I'm just fine, just fine. Really excited about our guest tonight.
Yes, and I want to take this opportunity to introduce you to Mr. Kobe Haberman. He was just pointing out to me that it's round about 1 a.m. in Israel. So I want to go ahead and introduce you both.
Well, good morning, James. Good morning, Dr. Daphne.
Good morning, Mr. Haberman.
This is the Holy Land, and it's already Tuesday.
It's already Tuesday. I can't wait until I get the experience of the Holy Land. I need to get there. Well, I want to let the listeners know, Jim, and yourself, that I was honored and so blessed to have met Kobe 2 years ago already. And he is the co-author of the book Strategic Leadership on the Soul with Jennifer Sertl. And I was privileged to be in their presence when they launched their book. And there was so much I learned just from meeting this amazing person for one day and to see how humble he is and his passion for wanting to make a difference, not only in his native land, but across the world. And I have so much respect for this gentleman and for the work that he has been doing for a number of years. So he had such a rich bio. And what I want to do, Jim, is to allow him to just tell our listeners what he would like them to know about Kobe Haberman, and then we'll go into our conversation. And after the introduction, Jim, you can start to lead off with the questions. So, Kobe, over to you.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be on the show. I will say a few words about my background. In fact, I am a veteran of high-tech industry, spending the past 28 years as a business executive, strategist, CEO, and most recently as a business mentor for CEOs and chairman of boards.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a great journey in business, great opportunities, both in high-tech, in software, telecommunications, expert systems, artificial intelligence software, and many, many interesting fields.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past few years, I have helped CEOs or brave CEOs transform their companies by implementing strategies for accelerated growth and prosperity in their business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the past, I would say 15 years or so, in parallel to my business activities, I also had a wonderful experience in what I would call a parallel universe of civil society activities. Of course, as a volunteer, as a civil society entrepreneur, and as a board member of many NGOs, I started in the field of education, technology for education, social services, community empowerment, and young leadership development. I've
mm-hmm.
done this for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and 5 years ago, I decided to shift all my energy in the civil society field
mm-hmm.
to initiatives that would bring peace and economic prosperity in the Middle East region. And most recently, I co-authored and co-founded the Israeli Peace Initiative Group, which is celebrating this week its first anniversary. And I will be happy to elaborate on that more as we continue in the program.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Kobe, for, you know, just you select some of the great high points of your life and your career to share with our listeners and just to lay out the pace for them to see the wealth of knowledge that you come with. So, Jim, I want to allow you the opportunity to please take the reins.
Yes, I'm really excited about your business, Kobe. And for those folks of you, those folks listening to the show, Kobe's business, his company's name is Strategic Landscapes Ltd. And I'm really fascinated because, you know, as a business coach and a trainer, I do a lot of things with small and medium-sized and some Fortune 500 companies. But you're actually taking hold of the C-suite. And I like how you put it, brave executives. Could you explain to our listeners what you mean by that?
Yes, I'm intrigued and I'm curious about working with executives who are not just satisfied with a traditional moderate maintenance and growth of their business, but those who are passionate about setting ambitious goals and implementing, I would say, out-of-the-box strategies to achieve these goals. Just to give you a flavor, I'm looking at a minimum at companies whose CEOs are committed to double the business every 2 to 3 years. That is a very high growth rate, and it can be achieved only through exceptional execution, only through out-of-the-box innovation and a lot of inorganic growth, acquiring companies and bringing together more and more passionate people to create a fascinating journey for a business. That is the kind of bravery that is needed by the CEO and their team to engage in a journey for growth and accelerated expansion. And my role is to work with them as a guide, as a philosopher, as a friend, and to help them face the challenges that they themselves have put for themselves personally and for their teams and for their companies and shareholders, and help them make the right choices and even further accelerate the growth through bold steps.
Mm-hmm.
And from my perspective, it is a wonderful gift to be at the company of such people and to be able to help and mentor and encourage and empower and do all the right things to help them go where they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, I'm sure that some folks who might not grasp exactly what you're saying are probably thinking, okay, he has to go out there and now I have to go out and I have to double my sales, and so now they're thinking along the lines of marketing and things of that nature. But something has to happen internally in the organization before you can even approach that. It should, there has to be quite a huge organizational transformation, doesn't there?
Yes. Yet the organizational transformation is the second step. In fact, it all starts with a reflection and a transformation of the CEO himself or herself. It is the discovery of the inner capacity and the passion inside you to become an exceptionally brave leader that starts the whole process. And this is why engaging with your soul as an executive is more important than outlining the exact strategy. Once you feel that you are ready, that you have an aligned, inner, passionate program, if you like, for your own life, then you are ready to engage in the process that starts with ambitious vision and ambitious goal setting. And then, as a result of that, not only will you transform yourself, but you will transform the team, the business model, the belief of the shareholders, the customers, and the employees. So I just want to make it extremely clear that it starts from within before it outgoes, before it is really manifesting itself in the business.
And I'm hoping that my listeners and our listeners are grasping this. You know, I think that a lot of folks think that business is about, you know, when they lay their hand on something to do or what the intellectual knowledge of a particular thing is. But business really starts within the individual who is running that business and then explodes out from there. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I can see why you're a transformational leader.
I think that the old view of business is something that is an engineering-like, mechanistic, cold, rational, if you like, some sort of a clockwork process. This is a very old perspective of business, and it is no longer valid in my view.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we go to business today in order to manifest our leadership and in order to really achieve what we have inside us waiting to show to the whole world. And therefore, it starts with the discovery of the leaders inside us before it manifests itself in business leadership and true impact on customers, employees, and shareholders.
And
because of that, I think that there is a higher purpose here in doing business. And it is not just to trade goods for money. It is about creating a sustainable impact on customers' lives and engaging in the understanding that our role as business leaders is not only to supply, but to engage and to solve problems and to be with our customers for the long run and to build relationships and to understand their world, not just our own, and to do all of that with humbleness and efficiency and effectiveness. And that requires a very different use of our own energy in order to those qualities.
Kobe, how do you see entrepreneurs embracing this process for greater success? Not only monetary, but personally.
Well, to me, entrepreneurship is one of the most noble models of business leadership, because not only they should be brave to engage in the entrepreneurship process, but they do so in innovative and greenfield and unknown territories, or terra incognita, as we say it in Latin. So what I see a lot of young, passionate young leaders who are really interested to make their mark, to do something different, to challenge their previous generations. I'm considered to be an old young man, but I see the true young men, and I see this generation of business leaders, men and women from all over the world. And I think that they are creating a wonderful world together.
That's
because
right.
they think differently, they take risks, they are quick, they learn fast, they are very flexible, and they are very, very passionate in the way they network, engage, and communicate. These are qualities and skills that at least my generation were just trying to invent these things. For
right.
them, it's naturally.
Amazing, amazing.
That is really beautiful, beautiful. You know, part of your process you call a strategy checkup. How do you go about doing that?
Okay, first of all, I must admit that I'm working based on a very important word, which is called intuition. And that is, not everything can be categorized into a phased, fragmentative, step-by-step approach. I sometimes go and speak with somebody, and after 3 hours, I will have a clear picture of what their business is, what the problems are, where the opportunities are, and don't always ask me how I got to that particular moment, because it is a combination of knowledge, experience, and maybe some sort of an artistic capacity that I've developed over the years. But I typically use metaphors coming from the physical wellness world and from music, and it is about seeking harmony. And you know, nature creates harmony, music creates harmony, and when you're sensitive to the tones and the undertones and the text and the subtext of organization, you get a pretty good picture of who and what and why they are. And it may not be the last finite detail about their cash collection department, but you do get a sense of whether the business is healthy, whether they have energy, whether they are clear about where they want to go, whether they are engaging, whether they are happy or unhappy. And that is a very quick process. So I look at it as if you go to your own doctor, and good doctors will tell you and give you a picture very quickly.
Right.
And I think one of the interesting things is, one of the secrets that I found out is that most people, most management teams, most executives, most companies have a pretty good picture of what's working and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Are they willing to articulate that? not always, are they willing to admit that or to recognize that? Very seldom they do.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is to act like an X-ray machine and help them expose the hidden secrets that they are not really, you know, they're not really secrets. They know these things.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the management or owners are reluctant to acknowledge those areas of error or challenge, Kobe? Is it pride or ego? What is it?
I think some people are holding the notion that business is tough, and business is sometimes painful, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
you need to make sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
and you can't fix it all, and you need to continue, and if you work harder, it will be solved over time. And there is a lot of, I would say, sometimes it's like, you know, trying to repeat the same things that failed, but try to do it again and again and again, hoping that it will succeed this time. And I think that this is all but natural and all but expected. And sometimes I feel extremely good about my ability to go to people and say, look, between you and me, you already know it's not working. Now, why don't we get over with it and let's move on and what you think could work.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's about this kind of very open conversation model that I'm using in these discussions, more like, if you like, philosophical discourse and asking tough questions and cutting straight to the heart of the matter rather than drilling around and around and around until people are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to our listeners about, you know, once you've gotten past the whole checkup area and you know, like they say in the vernacular, checkup from the neck up, you then take them on a strategic landscape mapping journey. What's that about?
Yeah, I personally found out that the metaphor of looking at the map and going for a journey is something that makes it easy for people to understand where they are, where they want to go, and how they want to get there. And what I do with them is, you know, with a pen and paper on a napkin in a restaurant or on a whiteboard, I outline with them the map of possibilities for their business to go. And it could be new markets or taking new customers or buying new companies. And I try and outline this as a sort of a journey. We go from here to the next mountain. Now, how do we go? How do we climb that mountain? Do we go by foot? Do we take a helicopter and land at the top? Do we take the easy way up? Do we take the difficult way up? Do you want to bypass this mountain and go to the next? These are metaphors that all of us have from our days as kids, going out. People connect with that. And once we have the landscape outlined, it is easy for them to create a plan how to navigate and where to go first and when to go afterwards. And we try in a very simplistic way to outline the journey and to try and put timestamps on where we want to be and when, and who should lead in which way, and what are the possible routes. And all of that becomes a very, very tangible and very clear picture. I must admit, I don't like long strategic roadmap presentations. I think it is time to demystify some of the strategic planning process and to make it simple, accessible, and I mean, very clear, and fun at the end of the day.
I think that that's a great approach. You're putting it in a way where people can fully understand what it is by using that type of symbolism. You know, for those of you that may be just joining in with us, our guest this evening is Mr. Kobe Huberman. He's the founder and CEO of Strategic Landscapes LTD, and we're very fortunate to have him today. He's calling in right from Israel, where it's after 1 o'clock in the morning, so we know that we are taxing his energy. But not often that we have that opportunity to tap into someone with such a wealth, and I do mean such a wealth of knowledge. Tell us about the book. I know we had Jennifer on the show a couple of months ago, and she was wonderful. And Jennifer Sertle, along with Kobe, wrote a book, Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul. It's a fabulous, fabulous book. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your book, Kobe?
Well, before telling about the book, let me say a word about Jennifer, because it was a wonderful experience to write a book. There are two people who are something like, I think, 7,000 miles away from two different planets, two different time zones. Mm-hmm. Decide to join forces and to create something together. Mm-hmm. And we started this journey back in 2005 when we both spoke at a conference in France. And a friend of Jennifer, whom I knew, introduced me to Jennifer, and he said, look, the two of you need to talk. Well, we started to talk and decided to continue talking. And we documented all our conversations, recorded all our phone calls, transcribed our conversations, and ended up with piles of pages and pages and pages. Then a year later, we stepped down and decided to make it a book. And we wrote the first version of the book, which had, I think, about 400 pages. And then we took a guy who was a ghostwriter, if you like, sometimes I think around 2008, and he took all the things we said and wrote, and he interviewed us for a week, and he said, look, let me get back to you. And 6 months later, he came up with a book. This one had 250 pages. And then we went to a British editor, and she said, look, I love what you're saying, but let me suggest that we make it a short and sweet one. And she squeezed us, literally speaking, and forced us to say what we wanted to say in less than 140 pages with very large font.
Oh.
So there goes something like 5 years' journey of fighting with words and articulating thinking and ideas and observations. Distilling it into something that we hope is a call for consciousness, and it's not a how-to book. It's not the 10 steps towards A, B, or C. It is not our PhD-like methodology of getting things done in a complicated way. No, it is something that we hope everybody can connect to and take whatever they want from there. And I hope that the book is serving this particular purpose and we get wonderful responses from those who read and implement it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kobe, you have a personal experience, a journey that happened in your life. Do you care to share that with the listeners?
You're talking about the journey I did 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine. Okay, let me just share with the listeners the fact that, without harming any observational rationality. About 30 years ago, a friend of mine and myself decided to walk something like 450 miles in 1 month from one edge of Israel to the other. Don't ask me why we did this, but I can tell you it was extremely useful. Because of the physical experience, but also because it has taught us an extremely important lesson about journeys, and that it is more important to finish a journey than to start it.
And
I can, you know, I always say to people, I think I was aware of life something like 600 months. If this 1 month back 30 years ago was the most telling one and the most influential piece of time that I ever experienced, and it has really helped me since then realize what's difficult and what's not. And let me also tell you a small secret. Whenever I work with brave CEOs and they face some challenges, I ask them, well, tell me, what's going to be more difficult, to develop this new product or to walk 450 miles in the next 30 days? Again, most of them choose to develop new products, to buy companies, and none of them ever volunteered to take that kind of walk.
Wow. So if
Go ahead, Kobe. You know, if I can make a recommendation that I'm sure will transform people's lives, really take a break, find a nice point on the map to start, and most importantly, define where you want to go and spend a month on the road. It will make any one of us new people, very, very confident, very, very capable, and willing to tackle challenges that otherwise we would never dream of.
I tell you, Kobe, I have not walked the month. However, ever since you shared that story with me, it has helped me to build my perseverance quotient. Because I oftentimes reflect on it, and I said, if Kobe and his friend can walk for a month, why am I going to quit on this little journey? It is nothing in comparison. And I think for everyone who listens to this story and this experience, we as entrepreneurs, we can apply it to what we are doing in our businesses as well. Because it helps us to become more courageous in what we're doing.
Definitely. Definitely. Especially as if you're committed to go through a life experience like this, this is a life-changing experience. But what it really tells you is that you can act when you have no idea where things are going. I mean, this is typical of entrepreneurs who start new businesses and new ideas and have very little knowledge or information about where things will be. All we knew, my friend and myself, is that we want to finish in the Red Sea. And we knew that this was 450 miles away. We started our journey with no clear idea of what exactly the road to the Dead Sea will be. But we knew more or less the direction we wanted to take. Sometimes being able to take the right direction and make the necessary steps, that is the quality of leadership that is required in many, many cases, far beyond, you know, a very clear understanding of every little detail of the road and the map. People need to navigate with a sense of purpose, with a sense of direction, and with a commitment to certain goals.
Beautiful. Back to you, Jim. Jim? Did we lose Jim? I think we probably lost Jim. You want to talk about what the attendees will be blessed to get from you on at the Vision Weekend Conference on Saturday?
Yes, I think what I will be very glad to do is to talk about some of the things we've just described, but in more detail. That's most importantly, talking about the discovery of business strategy along the lines of discovery of your inner capacity for leadership.
Yes,
and
yes.
I will start with that as the birth of accelerated growth and leadership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I will talk about ambitious goal setting.
Yes.
And
yes.
How to really calibrate your toolkit to understand when you are hitting, what's the difference between, you know, growth, between ambitious growth and irresponsible goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, how do we frame, how do we address the realm of possibilities without erring on being too ambitious, which is irresponsible, and how we prevent ourselves from falling into the trap of setting too simple or too easy goals for ourselves. So I will talk about the art of ambitious goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will demonstrate the stories with four examples. One will be the journey that I just described.
Mm-hmm.
From personal physical challenge, physical and mental challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll give an example from business and talk about the journey that I've led with NICE Systems
over
an 8-year period. And then I will talk about two other examples. One, I will share the experience of and the journey towards the Israeli Peace Initiative, how it started and what we went through in the past 3-4 years of the journey. And I will end up with my new journey towards the launch of the Empathy Group.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Are you back, Jim?
I hope I'm back.
Okay. All right. We know we had.
You know, I could hear you folks speaking clearly, and I couldn't understand why you couldn't hear me, so I dialed back in again.
Yes. You know, this technology has a mind of his own, and you know.
I think Kobe needs to take them aside and train them how to expand their horizons and make our shows work perfectly.
Wonderful, you know. I was listening to everything that Kobe spoke about, and I thought to myself, this is such an on time message, because entrepreneurs need to understand that whatever success we will get has to do with total balance. And I was so excited that he started from the inside, because a lot of time there are some business people and entrepreneurs who think that they can separate who they are from their business endeavors. And you can't, because it is such an integral part of who you are. So until we begin to experience total balance in all areas of our life, I don't think we are going to see the day of success. We're not going to see that.
I totally agree. You know, in this economy, I would imagine that your services, Kobe, must really, really be in demand, because a lot of what's going on in business has been so vastly disrupted over the past few years that it does take a leader, a brave CEO, not only to sustain the business that they currently have, but to even grow that business in this particular environment. So I think that we're looking at landscapes that probably browned out, you know, as if there were no water, and now you have to show them where to tap into some more of that water.
Definitely. I think that the recent economic crisis have, each one of them, both the financial one, the market, the consumer crisis, each one of them created a necessity to rethink. And the old models of sequential thinking and organized market views that hold for 3, 4, 5 years are no longer valid. And therefore, the whole idea of strategic thinking has changed dramatically, because no longer can we go to a 6-month process out of which we have a 5-year plan. The pace of changes is so dramatic that it makes it almost irrelevant. And sometimes by the time you start, you may have a certain picture of the world which is no longer valid by the time you end a process like this.
Mm.
And at the start of this, and this is something that we wrote about in the book, there is a need for an agile strategic planning process which basically looks at a very long-term view and perspective, but short-term cycle, where you reflect, you observe, you learn, you make quick decisions, and you move forward. And
mm-hmm.
you do it again and again, every few months.
Mm-hmm.
You keep yourself mm-hmm. on your toes, and you keep yourself agile, and you keep yourself extremely humble, because it is very difficult to anticipate and to let alone dictate how markets or consumers will behave. And I think that more than anything else, it requires a change in philosophical perspective of what business is all about and what we can build versus what we can customize. And I think a lot of businesses experience that, because the pace of competition and the changing models of consumer behavior and the hybrid models of both digital economies and traditional economies are changing. I find it fascinating. I find it extremely challenging, and I think it is a great period in humankind. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people to really take all the capacity they have, both the professional, the leadership, the intellectual capacity, and to create a very different orchestra for themselves and for the people around them. It's a very different meaning of leadership.
Wow, absolutely. I think that, when we look at the journey that you took 30 years ago, I think that probably at some point in time, you probably hit a wall where physically you felt like you just didn't want to go on. But then after you got past that, then you with each new footfall, you found that you were able to do this, and it built up your confidence. And I would imagine that the same thing applies in business today for those folks that were ready to just throw their hands up and quit, the ones that stuck with it, the ones that were brave, especially the ones that reached out to you. With each new footfall, they felt and they feel that they can do this, and that's why they're succeeding.
That's right.
Let me share with you two observations from that journey. One is the observation of the selective memory, and here it is. I can guarantee that there were moments during that month where I was in such pain or in such physical pain with me and my colleague when we were very close to quit. Somehow, 30 years later, I just don't remember those moments. All I remember is those moments of pain are no longer relevant. We know they were, but frankly, I don't know where they were,
that's
what
right.
they took, and all I know is that we overcame them. This is one thing. And the second thing I can tell you, that after such a long walk, at some point in time, the body adapts, and you get a sense of, or you get, if you like, an injection of endorphins in your brain, and you think that you are not walking on Mother Earth.
Mm.
You feel as if you are flying, and this has happened to us in the last, let's say, the final third of the journey, where we had such huge physical fitness capacity that we didn't even feel we were walking.
That's right.
And be aware that we were carrying something like 40 pounds of, you know, of weight on our backs.
Wow.
So it is not something simple, especially when you do it in the summer and you go through the desert. You really need to be equipped with enough water and food.
Wow.
You have to be very, very careful about how you behave. But somehow, as I said, memory is selective and your body adapts.
That's
and
right.
These two qualities apply to organizations. If they remember how to forget the unnecessary pains, they will be able to fly even further and even higher. And some of that depends on the kind of story and narrative we develop as leaders. Because if we keep telling people how difficult things are, guess what?
Right.
They will always think that this is the purpose of the journey.
That's right.
If we tell them that the mountain is high, but the view is beautiful, and once we get there, we tell them, look, here's the next one, guess what happens? Over time, they forget the pain.
That's right.
They just realize they're part of a journey.
What a wonderful illustration. Wonderful illustration. Folks, do you see what you're getting ready to run into this weekend? Oh, you can only run into it if you've registered for the Vision Weekend 2012 conference. If you've not registered as yet, then this is only a tiny sampling of what you are in for. This is our final leg. As a matter of fact, this is our final joint radio program because the next thing is the real thing, and that real thing comes this Friday. This Friday. So if you haven't registered as yet, you better hurry up and do so because Kobe's flying in from Israel, and he's ready to take you to the promised land, all right? And he really will take you there. So you're listening to the journey that he's talking about. This is a gentleman that works with major corporations. He's now ready to show you how to get to where you need to go. But you need to be a brave CEO in order for that to happen. If you're not brave, you're not going to pursue your passion. You're just not going to do it. You need to be brave. And if you've noticed something, Kobe really, really, really identified who he works with. He works with brave and passionate CEOs that are ready. No matter what it's going to take to get it done, they are ready to take that next step and lead their organization into prosperity. So don't hesitate. Hurry up. Get to, Daphne's going to give you the information on how to get into the website and get in there quickly and register. Be brave, and be brave starting now, Daphne.
It's the visionweekendconference.com, and we are even offering a special late bird registration. You can register for one price for two people. And if you have groups of five and more, you can call us for an additional discount by dialing the number you see on the website there at the Vision Weekend Conference. So we look forward to seeing you this Friday at the Broadway Millennium Hotel at 145 West 44th Street in New York City. And Kobe, I just want, before we get off the air, I want to give you an opportunity to just give your closing thoughts and thank you very much for waking up in the wee hours on Tuesday morning to really invest in our listeners.
It's been a pleasure, Daphne and Jane. And I look forward to see you in the coming weekend.
Yes, yes. Jim?
By the way, Ken, how can people find out more about your company and about you, and how can they find out more about how to purchase the book?
Well, the book can be purchased by simply through Amazon. Just look for Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul in Amazon and order the book from there. More about my work can be found in the website of the company called www.spls.co.il. I repeat, www.spls.co.il. And people can also write directly to me through my email address, which is kobystls@gmail.com.
And he's also on Facebook and everything for those people who want to connect there.
Good. And one more word, and I think we spent most of the time talking about brave leadership in the business world. I will talk over the weekend. I will give some examples about the engagement of brave civil society leadership in the process of building regional peace in the Middle East as a way to fill in the vacuum of the political leadership. And show how the society and business people could fill in the gap. And I will share the story of the emergence of the Israeli Peace Initiative.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful for sure.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My. Kobe, it's really been fascinating. I'm really so looking forward to finally meeting you. And sitting down and taking notes as you present to us this weekend coming up. And, folks, make absolutely sure that you're at that conference. As Daphne said, you get a 2-for-1, and there are special group rates for people that have 5 or more individuals. Make sure you get to the website. Get to it immediately. Register. And I'll tell you something, this is going to be an experience you will never forget.
That's right, that's right. They're actually getting a lot more than they pay for, and I'm just super excited. I can't wait to be in the company of everyone and just to see lives change and transform and get empowered. So
absolutely.
I want to thank you again, Kobe, and thank you, Jim. I don't know what I'm going to do with my Mondays now, Jim.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing. Mine. I have classes to teach, so I'm not getting a break.
Oh, my heavens. Okay. Well, any closing thoughts for you, Jim?
I'm just like I said to folks just a couple of moments ago, I just cannot wait till this weekend because I'm looking so forward to finally meeting all the guests that we've had on this wonderful show going all the way back to November. I am so proud of the lineup that you have put together for the Vision the Weekend Conference 2012. I am so proud of this lineup. I just can't wait because I know that I'm going to come out and away from there transformed.
That's right. That's right. And Kobe, again, I want to thank you. You can go back and get some more sleep before you wake up.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
It was a pleasure. And I'll see you on the weekend, Kobe.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Good morning.
Take care now.
Thank you.
And have a good morning to you too.
Yes, it's good morning. Enjoy and enjoy your breakfast. And I am just so thankful for all of this, Jim. And we're just going to go out playing our theme song. I want to encourage people to go to the website, register, visionweekendconference.com. You have heard from each and every speaker. And if you don't think that you deserve to be brave and to be bold, no, you are really letting yourself down. So I encourage you to go register right now, visionweekendconference.com. Jim, it was an honor working these many weeks alongside you, and I look forward to doing it again sometime in the future.
Yes, yes, I have a ball.
That's right.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.